kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness.
Therefore, we are by fear.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and in deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We chant the intro of the day together.
Thanks.
Almighty God, our Father, your blessed Son, called Luke the physician to be an evangelist and a physician of the soul. Grant that the healing medicine of the gospel and the sacraments may be put to fight the diseases of our souls, that with willing hearts we may ever love and serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. The waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty herd streams of water. In the haunt of the jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today comes from the 147th chapter. And we will read it responsive. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God.
Praise is pleasant and a song of praise is good.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem.
He gathers the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted.
And he binds up their wounds.
He determines the number of the stars.
He gives all of their names.
Praise our Lord. And abundant in power.
His understanding is beyond measure.
The Lord lifts up the humble.
He has lowered it to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving.
May the well be to our God and our God.
He covers the heavens with clouds.
He prepares the rain. He makes grass grow on the hills.
He gives to the beasts their food. His delight is not in the strength of the horse,
nor is his pleasure in the legs of man.
But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. The epistle today comes from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Damalica. Luke, along with me, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful for me for ministry. Theseus I have sent to Ephesus, and with you come to bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Taurus, and also the books, and above all, the patriarchs. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me great harm. The Lord repay with him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message at my first defense. No one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you're able, I invite you to please stand as we hear Jesus' words of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard God's word, we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, peace to this house. This greeting from the gospel reading our words Jesus gave to his disciples for greeting people as those disciples gave the good news of the Savior to others. Obviously, Jesus didn't live in 2020. Because there's not much peace these days, is there? Even right here in the midst of our Holy Trinity family, there's not much peace. Oh, I could tell you stories, but you know some of them, with illnesses and emotional issues and conflicts within households, but what goes on behind closed doors should stay there, right? And none of this says anything to what's going on out there with the impending election and peaceful demonstrations and not so peaceful attacks on police officers and just plain violence in the streets. So what exactly does this mean? Peace be to this house. Does it mean no fighting here in the sanctuary during the service? Probably. We certainly don't want any of that while we're here. But it means more than that. We talk a lot about peace in our Christian religion. Some people would construe that word to mean just what I said, that there should be no fighting here and that we should just all get along. Get along as peaceful human beings because, most of all, we are Christians. Is that true? Well, yes and no. We as Christians are to seek peace in the world, but we are constantly at war. The devil in all his schemes and worldly ways is constantly attacking us, which hardly allows us any peaceful existence. St. Luke records in the reading appointed for this morning how Jesus sent out 72 followers to go into places where he was also going to go to preach the good news of the gospel. These 72 others were sent in advance of Jesus' coming. He told these who were sent, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Today, in the next few weeks, out on the great plains of this country where the grain wasn't blown down by derecho, men and women and whole families and hired workers work from sun up to sunset in order to bring in the harvest, that grain that's ripening in huge fields. The work is hard, exhausting, dusty and hot, or cold and miserable as the autumn winds blow. But when the whole ordeal is over and the grain is in the bin, it's all felt to be worthwhile. Jesus today is talking about harvesting of souls. But the concept is the same. If there aren't enough laborers, if there aren't enough faithful to spread the word, then for the few, it becomes an insurmountable task. Also, notice how Jesus tells the ones that he is sending to pray for more laborers. It's not the spectators who pray for help. All too often, too many of us think that someone else will do the job that we all are unwilling to do ourselves, like good old Rob here. After all, that's his calling, right? Note next that Jesus gives them very little to take along on their way. He tells them, "Go on your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. This is not a peaceful field. Jesus now is talking about your neighborhood, by the way, your family gatherings. All y'all are to be lambs in the midst of wolves. That's not very comforting, is it? You're sent out into a battlefield of sorts as Christians who are expected to stand firm in your faith in the midst of wolves of modern society. It's not easy when we face temptations that seem, well, very tempting. I mean, the conversations that you'll have at the dinner table, why, they even seem pretty logical, don't they? After all, what's wrong with choice? We should have the right to do whatever we want with our own body as long as we don't hurt anyone else. That's what the prevailing winds would have us to believe. But murder is wrong. Whether it's murder of the unborn or assisting in the suicide of someone who's hurting very bad. The schemes of the devil are subtle indeed and seek to confuse and confound our mortal human minds. And this won't be the only difficult discussion or subject to come up. So where do we find help? In his letter to the Ephesian church, St. Paul writes, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So we do have armor against the enemy. It's the faith that we are armed with by the Holy Spirit in the waters of our baptism. And then at that baptism, we are sealed too with the shield of the cross, marking us as redeemed by Christ the crucified. So then those of you who are sent are armed. You need not be afraid. For you have faith in Christ to provide the strength necessary for your battle. Your faith in Christ makes your journey complete. And many times we feel as though we are not cared for adequately. One of the concerns for life is always for the physical needs of yourself and your family. And often ambition and desire for more can become all-consuming. Just relying on faith isn't something that's easy to do. Leaving our daily needs up to someone other than ourselves is not something that's within our human nature. But that's what Jesus expected of his followers that he had sent out. You recognize by now that you're being sent, don't you? Rob is called to guide you, to prepare you for your journey, to help you, but your faith is enough to sustain you. That's not to say that you're to give up your job, to abandon your vocation, and sit back and rely on God to do everything for you. You have responsibilities in life. You are to use your vocation and those who surround you at work to accomplish your task. You've been given that task by Jesus. But you are to tell the others of the peace that can come to them through Jesus. You need not become a preacher to do that. Living your life as a child of God, redeemed through the washing of holy baptism and by the blood of Christ, your life becomes a shining example in word and deed to others of exactly what the peace of Jesus really is. In John's first epistle, we are told, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. But the peace that's ours through Jesus Christ is not the same as the peace that this world cries out for in the midst of war or terror or against any other foe. All of us are constantly at war. Our very lives are a battleground for Satan, who's desperately trying to regain a foothold of his power in our world, in our families, in our church family. And again, in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he tells us of the kind of war we are facing daily. He writes, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Evil seems more apparent these days than any time I can remember, especially in 2020. Not that evil has ever been absent. I could name evil that was present every time during my life. But today, the martyrdom of innocent people all around the world, and the murder of innocent babies by abortion are around us every day. The hullabaloo that's on television every day in our lives that are touched in very personal ways by all of these events, it's only the faith that's given by God that can possibly sustain us through these perilous times. As that sustenance of faith carries us, we too will return to God, rejoicing of the power that we've felt in our lives. You who are sent out by Jesus will return to him with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Those who were sent out in Jesus' time could hardly believe it. They weren't even told to cast out demons, only to heal the sick. Yet even the demons that were possessing people obeyed them in the name of Jesus. They were awestruck by the power that was given to them by Jesus. But none of them claimed the glory for themselves. None of them arose as a great faith healer who desired publicity and glory for himself. No, they all gave glory and honor to the one who they knew was responsible for their strange and awesome abilities to heal. Thus it is to be with you too. When someone listens to you about Jesus, when they accept the peace that's offered to them, it's not you who's done it. It's the Holy Spirit. Rob, your good works of going to nursing homes and helping other people may gain you notoriety and maybe even fame in the community. But if you claim that notoriety for yourself, you've claimed glory that really belongs to God. St. John tells us in his gospel, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So all of the good works, all of the demons we cast out are in his name. Jesus was impressed too when the disciples returned telling them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The work that the 72 disciples had done was good work. Satan was losing the battle. Jesus even gave them power over snakes and scorpions. This must be where Christian churches get the idea that they should prove their faith by handling snakes and other poisonous animals in order to prove their faith. But this again is claiming glory for themselves. This is turning the gospel of Jesus Christ into sideshow entertainment rather than worship and praise and to give glory where it really belongs. Jesus exhorts his followers, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of heaven. This is the peace that we're talking about. Here at the very end of the gospel reading for the day is the treasure that we've been mining for. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The use of the word written in the original language means that it has been done and it endures forever into the future. Your name has been inscribed formally and solemnly as though it were on a testament, a contract, a marriage document, or something just as formal and meaningful. You've become citizens of heaven. You have all of the full rights and privileges of citizenship, and you've done nothing to deserve it. All of this is certainly worth rejoicing about. We bring nothing to bear on our own salvation. We can't even comprehend all of the works of God on our behalf. All of the powers we have here on this earth, all of the glory we receive here on this earth are fleeting. They pass in only a moment. The rights and privileges granted to you and guaranteed to you through Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection are forever. It's even greater than the freedom that we celebrate in this country on Independence Day. This day is special indeed because it isn't often that we have the coincidence of celebrating great and marvelous works done by our Savior and great and marvelous works done in our country as well. So the day of freedom, everlasting freedom, is extra special. That's the peace that I was talking about when I opened this sermon. Peace be with you. Amen. And now that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till he returns again in glory. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand for prayer.
Lord, deliver your people by your power and grant to us grace sufficient for all our needs and for the needs of all people. Let us pray to the Lord to open the eyes of the blind by the light of his word and to open the ears of the deaf with the voice of his gospel, and for the Lord to clear the way for all people to know the riches of his grace, the gift of forgiveness and the promise of life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to raise up evangelists who will witness the gospel, for preachers who will testify to the mighty act of deliverance on the cross by which we have been saved, and for the Lord to bless his church and all church workers who serve us in his name. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to teach us to trust not in our works, but in his word, and for a steadfast faith to endure in times of test, trial, and tribulation. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to bless our nation in peace and harmony, and for the Lord to bless our president, governor, and all legislators, judges, and those who protect and defend us against all of the enemies of our land. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to heal the sick, to give relief to the suffering, grant comfort to those who mourn, and to give peace to the dying, especially for those requesting our prayers and those we now name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord on behalf of those who serve as doctors and nurses, for medical researchers and those who work to end disease, for those who care for people most vulnerable, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray to the Lord for the renewal of our lives of prayer and devotion, interceding on behalf of those in need and those who have devoted themselves to the Lord's work. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray to the Lord for those who commune this day, for faith to receive his gifts, and for genuine repentance, that they may receive to their benefit Jesus' flesh and blood in this bread and cup. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray to the Lord for our stewardship of his creation, for our faithful use of all his gifts, and for grateful hearts, that we may honor the Lord with our words and our works. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray to the Lord that we may not forget those who delivered us to the sacred deposit and taught us the faith, and let us join them in passing on the faith to those yet to come. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray to the Lord that we may remain steadfast and immovable in faith, and that we may endure to the day of his coming again, when we shall be reunited with those who have gone before us with the sign of faith, and now rest from their labors, to live in his eternal presence and sing his praise without end, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join in singing the Common Doxology, hymn 805. Jesus Christ into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you. Saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you've had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You once proclaimed your saving promise through the prophets of Israel, and by the apostles and evangelists, you published the good news of your saving promise, fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Grant that we, being instructed in the doctrine of the blessed apostles and evangelists, may faithfully eat his body and drink his blood and declare his salvation to all of the world.
Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.